Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the new First Man Photography podcast. My name is Adam and I am a photographer. Hopefully you already know me from First Man Photography on YouTube. That's my YouTube channel where I have a fairly mixed channel. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm doing mostly landscape photography vlogs at the moment. I also have tips, tricks, tutorials, reviews, all that type of thing over on the YouTube channel. If you've discovered me through iTunes, just on the podcast, then welcome. I appreciate you being here and I hope you enjoy the show. So why am I doing a podcast? I thought I would answer that question to start with because it isn't such, for me, it's not such a natural progression from YouTube to a podcast. But at the moment, the way YouTube works is the videos need to be really top quality so people watch them all the way through. If you have a video that underperforms, it seems at the moment that your channel may be punished or something like that. But I do have a lot more to say. And that's why I've started this podcast. So I want it to be a mixture of things on the podcast. I think every now and again, I'll do a show like this. I'm going to aim to do at least one a week. And then there'll be other content on here as well. There's going to be snippets from the actual YouTube channel. There are moments when I'm filming vlogs that I might rant to the camera or give a little opinion about photography or just a little tip that don't always make it into the vlogs. And at the moment, that content has essentially just gone to waste. So I think this podcast will be a good place to include some of those things. And there'll just be little sort of 4 or 5 minute snippets of things that I've talked about before. These shows, I don't know how long they're going to last. We'll see when I've finished today. But I'm not going to sort of set a time limit or anything like that because I think the way people listen to podcasts, there's a bit more scope for doing them a little bit longer. So if you're driving along in your car, if you're exercising, running, working at your computer whilst listening to this, then I really appreciate it and I hope you will enjoy it and continue to listen and subscribe to the podcast. So recently I've had a bit of a mixed week. I've been out shooting a landscape photography collaboration. I'm excited about when that will go out. It's probably going to be out in the next couple of weeks for you to hear. And I've also been suffering this back injury, which I mentioned on the Q&A video the other day. That sort of started a couple of years ago. It's been on and off all through that time. It's been a very, very slow recovery, and that recovery is still going on, but it's sort of 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And this week I took a bit of a step back and I injured it again a little bit, so that put me out of action. I've had to cancel a couple of trips that I had planned, which is a shame, but I intend to make up for that in the very near future. So when I was doing my collaboration the other day, I went to Keswick, and where I met the person that I was doing the collaboration with. I'm not going to give away who that was just yet. I want it to be a little bit of a nice little surprise when that video comes out. So I'm not going to give that away at the moment, but do stay tuned to the YouTube channel for that coming. But when I was in Keswick the other day, Keswick is in the Lake District. It's one of the sort of bigger towns in the Lake District, and I decided that we were going to meet there. And I was stood there waiting for him to arrive. And whilst I was doing that, someone that's been watching me on YouTube for a little while sort of walked past, said hello, and sort of caught me off guard a little bit. It's really, really nice. I've been recognised a few times now, and it is genuinely really, really nice, but I am still getting used to it. Most people, I think, or a lot of people who are landscape photographers, like a little bit of solitude, and I'm no different. I definitely like being by myself. When I'm by myself, I get very much caught up in my own thoughts, and sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit disconnected from what's going on around me. So when I get approached out of the blue like that, again, I absolutely love it, but it catches me off guard, and I do have sometimes the ability to come across as a little bit rude. I really try not to be, and I'm genuinely not being rude, not being disrespectful, anything like that, but I'm still getting used to it. So if you do see me when you're out and about, please do say hello, because first, like I said, I do love it, but it may take me a moment to sort of switch on to what's going on. Something I'm still getting used to. I hopefully will get better if I continue, or I'm lucky enough to continue to get recognised. But I do appreciate people coming up to me and saying hello. It's good to meet some of the people that are subscribing to my channel. So just wanted to mention that quickly, because I thought it was quite funny the other day, and I don't want people to think that I'm being rude, because I'm genuinely not. So another thing that I'm going to do for this podcast, I've got quite a few plans for it, but and one of those things is to do some interviews. After doing the collaboration the other day, which is my first for YouTube, spending time with other photographers is just so special. I go out shooting a fair bit with my best friend, whose name is Lyle McCalmont. He's featured on some of the Mull vlogs, and he is an exceptional wildlife photographer and a really, really great landscape photographer as well. You can check him out at wildscapeimages.co.uk. And I go out with him quite a lot, but just going out with lots of different photographers is just such a special experience. And I've talked about it quite a lot before on the channel. When you have two landscape photographers, or any photographers really, and you put them in front of the same subject, you very, very often, almost all the time, you're going to get very different images come out of it. And that's always my experience when I do landscape photography as well. And you learn so much from going out with those people, the little different techniques they have, the different ways in which they visualize the scene as well. And if you can describe that to each other, what you're planning, what you're thinking, what you're seeing, what you're visualizing, all that sort of thing can just increase your learning curve so much and take you to the next level. That's been a little quote from my channel for a while, is to take your photography to the next level. And building up this sort of photography community around some of the photography vloggers on YouTube is becoming something quite special. And I think we can all learn from each other. I'm still learning. Photographers are learning right throughout their career. If they're not, they become stagnant, I think, and can become a little bit bitter. Definitely photographers have the ability to be rude, to be distant, to be not very pleasant. And that's really what I want to stay away from. I want to foster a community where we can all it can all benefit each other. And I think that is certainly what I'm seeing starting to happen. So it's quite an exciting time. So with that in mind, I'm going to be doing, hopefully, quite a few interviews. They may go up on the YouTube channel, but they would definitely also feature on the podcast. It may be time to time. I'm just doing them on the podcast because it is a lot easier to record just audio than it is video. So that's the plan. Hopefully, this podcast will just start to develop into something. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but hopefully I will get an idea of that as we move forward. And one of the things as well, going out with the other vlogger, YouTuber that went out with the other day, is it really brings it home, like I just said, how much harder it is doing video than just audio. And it's also harder doing video than just going out and shooting landscape photography. I've found, and it's been quite interesting actually, because I've found that as I've gone out to shoot a vlog, it puts more pressure on me to get a good photograph, because a landscape photography vlog without a couple of decent pictures at the end of it loses, I think, a little bit of its credibility. So it really adds to the pressure. And for me, I think I work better under that scrutiny, under that pressure. And it really, I sort of seem to enjoy working under those conditions. In the past, when I went out on a landscape photography shoot, so often I would come back with nothing. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think you sort of set your standards where you want to set them. Set them high. I certainly have high standards for myself. But there's also definitely some benefit in capturing, just capturing the best shot you can possibly catch and then sharing it. And then the audience will decide how good they think the picture is. If it's no good, then you can move on. Don't do something like that again. And you can learn from that feedback that you get. And social media is a good thing for that, I think, when you're posting your pictures. It's not to be concerned about, try not to be concerned about how many likes you're getting or how many dislikes, all that sort of thing. It's just a case of looking at the overall macro situation that you've got and sort of trying to learn from that. Look at the comments, but don't take them too much to heart, but use the overall picture and feeling that you're getting about that image that you've posted to give you an idea of where to go next. Also, as well, don't forget that it's your work. So if you're happy with what you've created, then that's great as well. But I think that's true. That is true of art. But definitely when I'm creating my art, I do want other people to like it. And that's the whole point, I guess, is that you're trying to convey a message, convey a story, convey what you're visualizing through your image. And for me, I do want other people to enjoy that. And especially if you're trying, if you're if you're wanting to be a professional photographer, then you're going to need to make money from that at some point. So people are going to need to like what you're creating. So just a little thought I had there, but let's move this on a little bit. And I want to use the podcast as well to answer some questions. I'm getting loads of questions at the moment. Again, I appreciate that a lot. It's really a privilege that people are asking me all these questions. And but I don't want to do a question and answer YouTube video all the time. I do them now and again. I posted another one on my latest video, or one of the latest videos. I'm not quite sure when this podcast is going to come out yet, but I did post a question and answer video, and it does good. People like hearing the answers to the questions, but that's not the type of video content I want to be posting all the time. I am going to be on this podcast, though, answering a lot more questions. I think it creates good content for a podcast. So if you want to have your question answered, there are a number of ways that you can do that. Firstly, just go ahead and ask that question directly in the comments on YouTube. That's the first way to do it. Instagram is another place to go. I am doing, or trying to do, a bit more Instagramming than I have done before. I really want to build that Instagram audience. So go ahead and ask me a question on there. You might want to give me a follow as well. It's at Adam Carnach. I will put a description of that in the description for this podcast so you can see how to spell my surname. But go ahead and search me on Instagram. I'll just search First Man Photography. I've put the hashtag in there quite a few times, so you should be able to find me if you just search for First Man Photography. So that's another place. Twitter, I answer as many questions as I can on Twitter. I don't do much on Twitter, although if you mention me, I will see it and be able to answer your question there. Go ahead and get in touch on the direct message as well on both Twitter and Instagram. I think that's a really good place to start having some conversation. And I've certainly had and organized a few good things through the direct messages on Instagram. Also, straight over to the website at firstmanphotography.com and go ahead to the contact page. You can get in touch with me there. I'm getting loads of emails, and some people will write quite a lot more on the and give me quite a lot more detail on the emails, which I do read and I do appreciate. I'm not afraid to read a relatively long email, so go ahead and send me something over on the email. So let's get into the questions. So the first one was one that came in after that Q&A session on YouTube the other day, and that says, I can't remember the name of the person who asked it, but it's, what's the background in coming up with the name First Man Photography? Now, it's a couple of reasons. Mainly is my name is Adam Carnach, and my surname is Polish. I'm very, very proud of my Polish roots. I'm not ashamed of my name at all, but it is difficult to say if you are reading it. It doesn't. The CZ at the end of my name makes a CH sound, like Czechoslovakia or Czech Republic, as it is now. That's how the sound, that's what that CZ sound makes, but it's not particularly easy to say if you're reading it for the first time. So I thought I would eliminate that confusion, increase the shareability, create a brand around the First Man Photography name. And also, I never really knew where my business would go, my photography business would go. So I want First Man Photography to possibly at some stage in future exist without me. So I wanted to sort of separate my name and the brand of my company. And that's why I did it. But First Man, I went with just for the Adam. Adam is the first man in the Bible. So I just went with that. It's not in any way excluding anybody. It's just me. I am the First Man Photography. And that is as simple as that. Nothing, I didn't put that much thought into deep meanings or anything like that. I just thought it was fairly catchy and rolled off the tongue. So that's why I went with First Man Photography. So next question is, again, it's a question that I did actually answer on the video the other day, in that, but it seemed to go down pretty well. So I thought I'd answer that again. And that is, how do you decide on what gear you're going to buy next? So when I'm buying new gear, I need to think very carefully about my list of priorities and where I have a gap in my gear, and where that gap creates a problem, I need to solve it. So it's about which problem needs solving first. So at the moment, I want to buy a drone, but the problem that the drone is going to solve is not the highest problem in my list of priorities. I want to include that aerial footage in my vlogs. I think it will really give an expanded view of where I am in the vlogs. It will give a nice sense of space and size of the area I'm in as well. And I'm going to some massive landscapes. So I think it will really help with that. But the vlogs work without it. So it's not right high up on my list at the moment. And it is also exceptionally expensive. And I would need to get a decent one. I would want a decent one. So there are things higher up on my list of priorities at the moment. So that's where I would go. And at the moment, it's things that are going to keep my business running. It's things like memory cards, batteries. I need a couple of new hard drives at the moment because I keep all my footage that I shoot, because you never know when that's going to come in handy in the future. And when you're shooting video, it creates a massive amount of it takes up a massive amount of hard drive space. So that's a few things that are high up on there. There might be a new lens you want to buy. That might be your highest priority, especially if you're just getting into photography. You want to start building your collection of good lenses or good glass. And that might be high up on your scale of things to buy. So it's always about trying to solve a problem that you have and what is going to take your photography to the next level. That's where I would focus on buying the next item. Once you've done that, you then usually, with a lot of things, have a range of products within that category of where you can go. A lot of the time, I will try and buy the top end thing in that category, but sometimes I will go lower down the scale. As you get towards the top possible product within that category, they start to get very expensive and you find you get diminishing returns. So I'll try often to get the best value item I can possibly get, where you get that sweet spot between cost and quality. And like I said, you get diminishing returns as you go up the scale. So it's about trying to find that nice little spot in the middle. So when I bought the Canon 5D Mark IV came out, I went straight ahead and bought that camera. But it isn't the best camera in the Canon range. That is the Canon 1DX Mark II, and I didn't bother going for that because A, the Canon 5D Mark IV was new, but also I think it hits that sweet spot of quality versus cost. So that's why I went for it, and the 5D's always done that, I think, in the Canon range at least. So that is the way I do it for actually deciding on the product. But then sometimes I will also seek a little bit of happiness because I like gear. I like buying gear. I like doing my research about what gear I'm going to buy and then just get it. But what I'll generally do is just try and buy the item that's just out of my price range. So I'll go up one notch of the place I can really afford. And I find that generally leads to me being a bit happier with the product that I've purchased. So, because if you buy the product that you can absolutely afford, you may find that you're just a little bit disappointed when you could have stretched to that next best quality of gear. Picking that up would have made you happier. It would have lasted longer. It would have solved your problem a little bit better than the one you did end up buying. So that's what I will try to do. I don't overextend myself too much, but I buy it just out of my price range, and then I'll cut back on other things. On the video the other day, I said I would cut back on beer. That might not be the case, but I'll definitely cut back on some other stuff to eventually be able to afford that item that I have purchased. So that's my gear method when I'm buying it. Sometimes stuff will just break and it needs replacing straight away. That's especially the case when you get into the sort of professional world and you just need stuff to work. If you're shooting a wedding and a battery goes, you don't want to be without a battery. So you need to have all those kind of things ready to go. And as you start using your camera more and more and more, things start to break more and more and more, because these are consumer products. They're not always professional products, and they'll just break and they need to be replaced quickly. So if you're getting into that sort of area where you're doing stuff over and over again, things break quicker and you'll just need to replace them. So that'll affect the way you think about it as well. And that'll be a very emotionless purchase, usually, to keep you going with what you need to do. So I think that's enough with that one. And we'll go on to another question from Andy. He says, "Hi, Adam. I would love to have my own website to try and start selling some images, but don't know where to start regarding who to use to make one. Also, in regards to pricing, how do you find someone to supply prints and mounts? Cheers." So I think we've definitely got a two-part question there. The first part is, how do you set up your own website and start selling some images? It really depends on your technical skill. If you are somewhat skilled with IT and you've built a few websites before, then you've got lots of places you can go and you'll probably know the answer already. But you can use a blogging style website like WordPress. But what's becoming more and more popular today, especially with photographers, is some of the website builders. Things like Squarespace, Zenfolio, things like that. There are a couple that I have used, and they do a really good job. Zenfolio, particularly what I like about that one, is that there's templates, some really nice templates that you can use to build your website. It's probably a little bit more complicated to put together than Squarespace is, but once you've got the site up and running, you've designed it, the feature that I really like about Zenfolio, particularly if you're doing wedding photography, is that it has a client area. So you can upload all the images from your wedding into that client area and then set that with a password that you can then issue to the client and the client's family and friends. They can then type that in, go to that gallery, and then purchase shots directly from there. That's a really nice way to add to the earnings that you make from a wedding. At the moment, certainly from my experience with Squarespace, Squarespace doesn't have that feature. What Squarespace does do, though, is it's just more beautiful, I think, than Zenfolio. I've recently relaunched my website, firstmanphotography.com, using Squarespace, and it was an absolute pleasure to put it together. It's easy, and you need even less technical skill than Zenfolio. So you could put, even with, as long as you can click a mouse, then it's a good place to go. You'll be able to put a really nice looking website together. When you're putting a website together, there are certain things you need to think about. Firstly is obviously the name. Are you using your own name? Are you using a sort of branded company name like I do? So that's the first thing. You then need to have some sort of brand designing around your logo, that kind of thing. And then comes the main bit. So as photographers, the imagery is something we're pretty good at. So that's fairly straightforward. You're going to put your pictures on there. That's going to provide the content. But you also need to do a fair bit of written comment and that content. And that's something that sometimes we forget about. So things that need to go in your about page, your contact page, all the little bits of writing around the images that sort of thing. And you'll need to describe the image if you want to sell it as well. So that all is part of the website design. If you can't do it yourself, it's probably going to be a case of paying someone to create the website for you. And you then may be able to maintain it yourself. But if you don't have any technical skill whatsoever, you're going to have to pay someone to create it and then to maintain it for you, because you need to have a website that keeps updated. If you're posting images on there and things, you want to have that all up to date. So you'll have to pay for that. That can range, the creation of a website can range from sort of £350 up to over £2,000 for a really nice functional sort of commercial website. So you need to bear that in mind as well. I think it's still important to have a website, especially for photographers, where you need to have that home on the internet. Obviously, a lot gets done through social media these days. You're much more discoverable on social media. It's unlikely that in any time after, shortly after posting your new website, that it's going to get anywhere near the top of the page, search page on Google. So you're really looking at pushing that website through social media. But I think as a photographer, it is still important to have that base. In terms of, so the second part of Andy's question is about prints and where to get them done. Over the years, I have used various print shops, but I used to, before I left London, I used to use the Print Space, and that was a good website. They have a website. I used to go in there quite a lot to look at my prints. You can sort of check the quality, but if you're selling a print, I really like to check the quality before I ship that print out, because you're selling a piece of artwork. You don't want it to arrive to the client or the customer as if it was just a print from a printer. I think it's important to create that feeling that they're getting a piece of artwork, because they are. So the quality of the print should be the best that you can possibly make it. So if you're getting done at a printer, get the print shipped to you, check the quality, or go into the print shop yourself, find a local one, go in and check the quality of the print before you take it home. I've now dealt with that by purchasing the Canon Pro XS printer, which is an absolutely beautiful A3 Plus printer and prints some amazing prints, and I can't tell the difference between prints coming off there and coming out of the lab. I reviewed that over on the YouTube channel recently, so you can go ahead and check the review of that printer out. It's not particularly cheap, but if you're selling enough prints, you will make your money back at some stage, because a print is obviously cheaper to produce than purchasing a single print from a print shop. So lots to think about there. Hopefully that's given you a few things to get going if it's something that you're considering. If it's something that you've already done, then obviously I'd love to hear how you go about things as well, if you think you've got something to add or to share. Like I said, get in touch over on Instagram or Twitter or just on the email. So the next question is Thomas asking, he's saying, "Hi Adam, do you sell on sites like Shutterstock and Dreamstime, etc.?" I think he's talking about stock websites. I have posted things in the past on stock websites, and I've sold a few, but it doesn't really create any significant amount of money. The stock of photographs these days is huge. So the likelihood of you making any significant money doing stock images is very, very small. There may be a certain shot that you take which really captures a trend at the time, which might do well, and that might be worth posting. But if you're just posting your portfolio, I would probably recommend against doing that, because it's unlikely that they're going to get picked up, and you may be able to sell the work yourself at a much higher value, so I wouldn't bother. Where I do use stock websites and where I do fairly well is through video footage, particularly 4K footage, and for me, particularly the time lapses. They have earned me some money and continue to do so. That may not last, but it's sort of, again, I'm sort of riding that wave of 4K footage at the moment. The 4K footage does much better than the lower resolution footage on the stock websites. But that may be something worth trying if you're considering doing some sort of stock work. But photographs wise, it isn't going to make you much money, I'm afraid, anymore. It certainly worked for people in the past. it just isn't doing anymore. So I think as a first podcast, hopefully you've enjoyed that there, but I'm going to end it there. What I would like you to do, if you feel like this is something that could develop and you would like to listen to again, please do subscribe to the podcast. And if you're coming, like I said earlier, if you're coming directly from iTunes and you found the podcast, please head over to firstmanphotography.com, check out my website, then check out First Man Photography on YouTube as well. That's really my home on the internet at the moment, where I'm putting the most time in to creating content. But I hope this podcast will act as a bit of a vehicle for other things, extra content, and we can have a bit of a more in-depth talk and discussion about the photography world. If there's any subjects you'd like me to discuss from the photography world or outside, I'm not going to get political on here, definitely not, but gear talk, tips, tricks, things like that, let me know what you would like to hear about, and I'll do my best to cover those subjects. So I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. I've enjoyed doing it. So I'll see you or hear you. What will we do? I'll talk to you again on another one very soon. I'm Adam. This is the First Man Photography Podcast. Out.